So, as we've said already, for those of us who've been here already, we begin today our series on the I Am statements of Jesus. With our worship review, we're now doing sermon series across the parish for the first time at both St Mary's and St Paul's Knock. And I wanted our main focus as we begin this term, to be our relationships as individuals and as community with Jesus. So, for the first part of the autumn term, we are looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. Later in the autumn term, we're looking at some of the characters in the Bible's encounters with Jesus and how it transformed their lives. And then we'll be using the lectionary to travel through Advent and up to Christmas, where we remember and celebrate God sending Jesus into the world. It's a great opportunity to get back to our roots as Christians and to refresh and realign our hearts with God. It's an opportunity I'm grateful for personally. I think it's a really good thing to do, and I'm really excited about what it's going to bring. The I Am statements are important for several reasons. Firstly, they link back to the Old Testament. The mighty God of the universe, our creator, calls himself I Am. In Exodus chapter 3, when God is talking to Moses from the burning bush, and Moses asks him who he is, he replies, I am who I am. And he asks Moses to go down to Egypt and lead the Israelites out of slavery into freedom, telling them that I Am has sent him. In the New Testament, when Jesus uses the words I Am, it is shocking to everybody because he's declaring in no uncertain terms that he is God. He's part of the Trinity. He is part of the I Am who created the universe. There are seven I Am statements in the Gospel of John that are made by Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate, which also comes in our reading today. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Each of these statements reveals something of the character of God and what he's like. And we will look at each one over the next couple of months. But as I said, today we begin with I Am the Good Shepherd. Now, we did read it in the first half, but some people have come in the second half, and I love the Bible, and I'm sure you do too, so it does no harm. We're going to read the passage again. It's on page 1076. Page 1076, it's John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Page 1076. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" I am the good shepherd. It's a rich statement, and it comes from a very, very rich part of Scripture. Let's put that conversation Jesus was having in context for a moment. This was chapter 10 of John. In chapter 8, Jesus has just had a confrontation with the Pharisees about his true identity as God's son, ending with them picking up rocks to kill him by stoning. And Jesus escaped death narrowly that time by slipping away from the temple grounds. In chapter 9, as he escapes, he sees a man who has been born blind and stops to heal him, which enrages the religious leaders even further. And so when we get to chapter 10, it is to the angry Pharisees, the blind man, the disciples, and the crowds who would have seen the healing he's just done that Jesus is now saying these things in chapter 10. And he's contrasting the behaviour of the Pharisees, the false shepherds of the people, with that of his own, the good and true shepherd of the people. And there are lots of qualities of the good shepherd from this passage that we can learn from that help us to understand our relationship with Jesus. And I've picked four of them we're going to look at today. So the good shepherd loves his sheep. He guides his sheep. He gives his sheep life. And he unites his sheep. The good shepherd loves his sheep, guides his sheep, gives his sheep life, and unites his sheep. We're going to look at each of those one by one. So firstly, the good shepherd loves his sheep. Now, Judy was talking a bit about this in the first part of our morning. Today, and actually in the olden days also, the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is very different in Palestine to that which it's, at least today, in Britain. In Britain these days, we mainly keep sheep for killing and for eating. Now, I've just been in the north of England. I've done quite a bit of walking. I saw a lot of sheep. And the sheep were not necessarily well looked after. They were quite scruffy. They were often off by themselves. But it's very different in Palestine, and it was very different in Palestine in the times of Jesus. In Palestine, the sheep are kept mainly for their wool. The sheep are often with a shepherd for years, all day, every day. And they often each have names by which the shepherd calls them. He knows their individual characters. He knows their markings, their likes and their dislikes. The ones who are weak, the ones who are strong, the stubborn ones, the ones who submit more easily. He knows the needs of each one of his sheep. The shepherd in Palestine is totally responsible for his sheep. And, of course, that is the shepherd that Jesus is talking about when he is talking here. In the times of Jesus, the life of a shepherd was very, very hard. No flock ever grazed without their shepherd. He was never off duty. He had to watch that the sheep didn't wander off or get hurt by natural disasters such as landslides or floods or fires. And he also had to guard them against attacks from wild animals such as wolves and bears, and also against thieves and robbers who were ready to come and steal them. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the shepherd boy David is talking of why he feels ready to fight the mighty Goliath. And he describes how he has rescued sheep from the mouths of bears and mountain lions. So the shepherd has enormous care for the sheep. Now let's think about the sheep for a moment. They, in contrast, have some differences. Sheep, if you think about the animal that is the sheep, they get lost easily. Some could say a bit like us. Sheep are defenceless without each other and without the protection of their shepherds. Now, sheep are also stubborn animals, often thinking they know what is best. Well, I could be called guilty of being stubborn sometimes. I wonder if there's anybody else as well. And sheep are often dirty and they often smell. Now, I was reading about sheep, facts about sheep, and it's very interesting. But apparently they don't have the ability to clean themselves, which I think is a really interesting fact. And that's really interesting because in the eyes of God, of course, neither do we. We, without the intervention of the Good Shepherd, can't be made clean. With the intervention of the Good Shepherd, we can be made completely clean, which I found really interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, God is often pictured as the shepherd and the people as his flock. Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Psalm 77, verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Psalm 95, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." In the Old Testament, the coming Messiah is also prophesied as the shepherd of the sheep. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Sheep need a shepherd. We need the Good Shepherd who knows us intimately, holds us close to his heart, and loves us more than life itself. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep. The second quality I picked out about the Good Shepherd is that he also guides his sheep. Verse 4 of John chapter 10 tells us that the sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. Now, in Palestine, apparently many different shepherds will call their sheep from the same grazing land at the same time as each other. And sheep will recognise their own shepherd's unique call and go straight to that shepherd. The sheep follow their shepherd because they know his voice. And the shepherd guides them, keeping them safe, showing them where to go. It's the same with God and with us. He speaks to us audibly sometimes, through his word, through our circumstances, through prayer and prophecy, lots of different ways. And we, his sheep who belong to him, know his voice. If we have a difficult decision to make, we can ask Jesus to guide us, to show us the way, so that we can follow. And Jesus even makes our path so clear to us that he is himself the gate to eternal life for the sheep, as it also says in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved." All we need to do to find life eternal is to seek the Good Shepherd and to follow him. So the Good Shepherd loves his sheep. The Good Shepherd guides his sheep. And the third quality of the Good Shepherd is that he gives his sheep life. I wonder what you would say to fill in this blank. Life is. Life is. It was a long time ago when this film came out, but Forrest Gump in the film, titled the same, said life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. A man called F. Scott Peck began, apparently, his best-selling book, The Road Less Travelled, by writing, life is difficult. And life is difficult for some of us. And there are so many other things that people might say. Life is a party. If we work in the centre of London every week, we might say life is a rat race. A life is a dot, dot, dot. I wonder what you would put there. It's a very sad fact that for many people in the world, life is nothing more than the time spent between life, beginning of life, birth and death. For some, it is a drudgery of existence. For some, it is a monotony of routine, which might have highlights from time to time, but maybe not all the time. Each day, perhaps, clung to at all costs, and yet each day with an underlying emptiness, which comes when the Lord is not yet known. People who don't yet know the Lord have their lives being stolen from them. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus offers us eternal life, and Jesus offers us life in abundance, life to the full. And it says in verse 11 that he does this by offering his own life for ours. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verses 14 and 17, it even shows that he does this willingly and faithfully in accordance with his Father's wishes. So what do we mean by life to the full? Because this can be a bit of a confusing one. We all know that being part of God's family is the most amazing thing that could ever happen to any of us. It certainly has been for me. I have known difficult times. I'm sure we all have. But my difficult times became very different when I came to know Jesus. I know quite a bit about life being stolen by the thief who comes to kill and destroy. But when we talk about life in its fullness and life in its abundance, we also know that being a Christian doesn't mean that suddenly nothing horrible happens and life isn't difficult anymore. But there is an abundant life that can be found for each one of us, whether the times are good or bad. And that is by God living in our hearts, loving us. That is through the shepherd who brings us life. Again, referring to David, the most well-known shepherd of the Old Testament, he wrote Psalm 23, which in difficult times and good, describes abundant life pretty well. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd guides his sheep. The good shepherd gives his sheep life. The final quality I've picked out for the good shepherd is that he unites his sheep. Verse 16 of John chapter 10 says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, in the times when Jesus walked the earth, this was shocking to the people of Israel. Jesus wanted everybody in his flock. This included Gentiles as well as the Israelites. It included other nations. It included everyone. If we think back through history, one of the causes of greatest harm is exclusivity. Once a people or a section of people gets the idea they're especially privileged or more important than others, it's really difficult to get them to give this up and to recognise the equality of all. And great damage has been done through the centuries when this has happened. The heart of the Good Shepherd, the heart of Jesus, is for everyone. There's no one who is outside of his love. He never stops looking for those who do not yet know him. And we too, as in the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, are to make sure that there is no one who is outside of our love either. And that we never stop praying and looking for those who don't yet know the Lord, so we can bring them to him. The good shepherd loves his sheep. He guides his sheep. He gives his sheep life. And he unites his sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the shepherd who will risk his life and seek and save the one who is lost. He is the shepherd of all human souls. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Those are quotes from the New Testament, other parts of the New Testament. He loves us. He guides us. He gives us life. He unites us. Amen.